Real quickly, just a note on the Sixers-Nets game. There is a prominent, active NBA player that is in attendance, sitting courtside at this game. Hickey, active NBA player, so clearly not in the playoffs, that is at this game. And the only reason why I'm bringing this up is because it could open up some speculation, and I do think it's newsworthy.
Damian Lillard.
Winner, winner.
Wow.
Chicken dinner. Dame Dolla Time, who has talked about before how he doesn't want to rebuild. He's past that. He doesn't want young players in the draft. He wants to get established guys, and he wants to go win. And if the team can't do that, maybe it's time to do a little split and have a little divorce. Dame Lillard is at this game. And the reason why this is compelling to me is because earlier today, and we've seen this report before, but there's been a realistic sense that there is a shot around the league that James Harden goes back to the Houston strip clubs. I mean, the Houston basketball team this upcoming year. And if James Harden leaves, I don't know how you're going to find a way to work a deal out if you're Philadelphia. You have to give up probably Maxey, and you probably don't want to do that. But who knows how they would get a deal to work on out. But the Sixers do have some draft picks to work with. James Harden's future is very unclear in Philadelphia, according to Woj. Houston is very much in play for him. So if you do have James Harden leaving this summer, you got to replace him. Because we could say what we want about James Harden, not a lead in the playoffs, but a tremendous regular season player, and we're all right on that. I don't think James Harden wins a championship as your number two. But if you're a Sixer fan, regardless of the status of James Harden, you should want Damian Lillard. And if you go get Damian Lillard, it's clearly the best number two that Joel Embiid has ever played with. And also, he is your finisher. It's perfect for Philadelphia. I don't know how they get the deal done, but let Daryl Morey will and deal. But the only thing I'll say on this is, you know what Daryl Morey should do. I just don't know if he'll do it because Daryl Morey knows James Harden better than anybody. They're like best friends. If Harden wants to leave, there's nothing he could do about that. But if it's up to Daryl Morey, he probably wants Harden back. And that's just insanity to me because they should be doing everything in their power to upgrade their team because you don't know how much more of a window Joel Embiid does have. Like, you'd think he probably still has two or three, maybe even four at most, prime years where you go win a championship. But remember, there's a lot of wear and tear on that body, even though he's not been playing basketball for a long time with how late in his teenage years he did pick up basketball, and he was more of a volleyball player. But if I'm the Sixers, I've seen enough of James Harden. You saw what he did in game one. He was great, but then the real James Harden in the postseason showed up in game two. So I do think that is a savvy move by one Damian Lillard. I don't know what the connection is outside that he just plays in the NBA. I don't know why he's in the New York area, but to show up and make yourself a story here, good job there by Damian Lillard, Iggy.
Absolutely. You talk about believing in the Sixers. I have no belief in them whatsoever. You get Damian Lillard this offseason, that belief or that lack of belief disappears.
Skyrockets, yeah.
That is. You talk about a team to beat. You talk about a fun Eastern Conference with presumably Celtics, Bucks, Sixers, all for the most part keeping their teams running the back, and then the Sixers adding Dame. That's going to be a blast.
The only thing that I'll say, though, you know where I think the most realistic destination is for Dame Lillard?
Miami?
Yeah. I do think it's
Heat
in the
culture?
East. No, not even that. I just think they have more pieces that they could deal. Like, outside of Maxey, and I don't even know if the Sixers want to deal Maxey, that would have to be the focal part of the team, you know, of that trade. So I trust the Heat more to get it done. I do, than the Sixers.
And if you're Philly, you cannot allow Tyrese Maxey's a really young player, promising player. You cannot have him be the reason why you don't acquire Damian Lillard. And like
I
you said, you're 100% right. 3 years, 4 years of peak Embiid before he starts to decline. Injuries take a toll when he's no longer the focal point of the offense and of the team. You have to do everything possible to capitalize now.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Talking about Philadelphia, let's hear from Nick Sirianni. He says Jalen Hurts' contract won't impact how they use him moving forward.
We didn't pay him more to do less, I'll say that, right? Will we still think about how to protect him? Yeah, because that's our job, to protect our quarterback. But, you know, Jalen does a lot of things really well, and we want to utilize the skills that he has so he can continue to play at a high level. And so, you know, we'll continue to go about our business the same way we went about our business. We'll always think about protecting him first. But, you know, we didn't pay him more to do less.
I actually really respect that answer from Nick Sirianni. I know that it may rub people the wrong way in terms of there may be people out there that are like, oh, that's malpractice, that's stupid. You look, though, at Jalen Hurts. I know he had a shoulder injury this year, and he takes a lot of hits because he runs a lot, but he's also a really good thrower. He's not a great thrower, but he's a really good thrower right now. If you intentionally cut out a lot of his running game, you're not going to get the best version of Jalen Hurts. And here's what I'll say. I don't think right now Philadelphia should be thinking about their future, because you have a window for, let's just say, the next three seasons where you could go win a championship. You almost won one this year, having Jalen Hurts play the way that he does play. Until there is a major injury, I'm not freaking out about the protection of Jalen Hurts. And let's remind everybody, I know the Eagles' offensive line's getting older with guys like Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson, but that was the best offensive line in football last year. And you could say, well, there's no Miles Sanders there. The running back room you don't love. Let's see what happens after the draft. Do they draft Bijan Robinson? Do they go get Jahmyr Gibbs? We'll see who they end up winding out and shaping out the rest of the roster from a running back perspective. It can't just be Rashad Penny, because that guy is just never on the field. But you have a team that, even with some of the pieces they lost, they still look like an all-star type of team. I'm not going to go dream team, because that's a sensitive topic in Philadelphia, but they do have an all-star type of feel to them. And even though I get it, people will be like, oh, but early in the week you said that the Bills have to do a better job in protecting Josh Allen. Yeah, because Josh Allen, it does seem like, even as great he is, he does play reckless. Hickey, when I look at Jalen Hurts, I don't think he plays reckless.
No, not at all. And the two offenses obviously are a lot different, but like you, I was just thinking before, like Jalen Hurts has really, at least last year, did not take a lot of big hits. Like the biggest hit he took was the one where he hurt his shoulder and got slammed down. But just trying to think, like he slides really well. I think he's smart. He's someone who does take care of his body. He's, I mean, jacked. The amount of, you know, deadlifts and squats he does, he's a power lifter. But he doesn't leave himself susceptible to big hits the way Josh Allen does. That's for sure.
And you know what he kind of reminds me of in terms of how many times he offers up his body to get hit and just does a good job in either avoiding the pressure or knowing when to go down? And I know that this guy has been marred with injuries, but Lamar Jackson doesn't take a lot of big hits. And he puts his body out there a lot with how many times that they ask him to run the football. It is similar to Jalen Hurts, where there's an opportunity to hit him a lot, but I can't remember Jalen Hurts taking a ton of big hits. And remember the year where Lamar Jackson, I think it was when he had the most rushing yards by a quarterback in NFL history. I forget which year. I think that was in his unanimous MVP year. And in that game where he broke the record, I don't know if it was on the play or a few plays before it or somewhere in that game, that was like the first big hit I remember seeing Lamar Jackson take. Now, Lamar deals with a lot of injuries, but last year, I can't recall in great frequency us sitting here and saying, wow, Jalen Hurts is putting his body on the line too many times and he's going to be dealing with major injuries soon.
And to go back to the Josh Allen comparison, it's also different because Philly runs the ball directly with Jalen Hurts. That is part of the zone read, is literally a part of the offense and what made it so tough to stop last year. Josh Allen runs the ball and his legs are a part of the offense, but it's not like he is so dynamic because he's reading the line edge rusher and then deciding to keep it or run it. It's not a spread option sort of offense. It is still more of your traditional drop back or more spread. So him running and then leaving himself open to getting big hits is more unnecessary than what Jalen Hurts does in offense. And that's part of the, you know, reason why the criticisms are different, you know?
And since I don't think it's a problem right now, you don't have to be too passive and too over the top here and start to take away things from Jalen Hurts, because why take away from what is a strength of your football team when you have a legit shot to go win a championship this year? Like, that to me is why I would not regress what you're doing right now in Philadelphia.
And so far, again, you would trust that he would take care of himself, where you're going to put him in opportunities with how much he rushes the football to get hit. Trust him that he will be able to do the smart thing, go down, even lower the shoulder in a way that's not going to leave him vulnerable to getting big hits to his chest, to his shoulders, to his legs that could leave him injured.
We'll get to Elijah Higgins coming up in just a second, but let me take one phone call here, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let me go to Lee in Cincinnati. Lee, what's happening?
Not much, Zach. Thanks for taking my call. And I just wanted to ask you, you're talking about how you don't think that Kyle Shanahan really likes or is enthralled with Trey Lance any longer. He never was, you know, that he, and that Trey's probably not going to get a fair shot then in San Francisco. But I was wondering, do you think that the same could be said about Bill Belichick's feelings towards Mac Jones or not? Do you think that he's kind of soured on Mac Jones? Yes or no?
It's a great question, because in year one, he absolutely loved Mac Jones and was gushing over Mac Jones and did so publicly even before the start of last season. And then last year, Bill didn't put Mac in a position to succeed with just the dopey approach with the offensive coordinators who weren't offensive coordinators and not getting him legit weapons. Now, they did bring back Billy O'Brien, but I think where Bill is annoyed with Mac, and I think this is stupid, is that Mac went outside of the organization to try to get some help with this just dumb approach that New England had last year. I do think Bill is annoyed at Mac, but he should not be annoyed at Mac. But Mac has accomplished more on the football field so far, and it's not much, than what Trey Lance has. And I know that's not saying much, because they're part of the same draft class, and Mac's been a starter from day one, and Trey Lance hasn't been. Mac Jones has some Fugazi Pro Bowl, but he did make the playoffs as a starting quarterback. And in the Mac Jones-Bill Belichick battle hickey, right now Bill's in the wrong. I don't fault Mac for whatever the reasons were why he went outside the organization. And if Bill's going to be so stubborn about that, Bill, you were in the wrong last year. You had Matt Patricia and Joe Judge run the offense, and you didn't have a number one wide receiver there. Mac's right.
I think the comparison's spot on. I don't get why Kyle Shanahan is so down on Trey Lance, and I don't understand why Bill Belichick is blaming Mac Jones last year for issues that Bill himself created.
Yeah, but the big difference here is that Mac's actually going to be the starter for the Patriots. I don't think Trey Lance is starting week one this upcoming year for the San Francisco
49ers. But you hear reports, Bill tried to trade Mac Jones. Even if he started this year, doesn't mean he's there for the long term, and doesn't seem like
he, at least
right now, is sold on Mac Jones the way Kyle Shanahan seemingly is not sold whatsoever on Trey Lance.
And you got to make those decisions quickly, because we know how quick you have to pay quarterbacks now, and Mac Jones is already year three in the league. And like right now, would Mac Jones be getting $40 million a year? No way. Would Mac Jones be getting the Geno Smith or Daniel Jones deal right now? Not from Bill. This is a big year for Mac and Bill, both of them. And you're going to need one another. So get on the same page. I'm like the adult in the room here. Separate corners, children. As my grandmother used to say to my dad and two uncles, when they would all be fighting as kids. Separate corners, let's figure this out. Bill, Mac, you need one another. Let's go be one big happy family. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Elijah Higgins next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
We continue to gear up for the 2023 NFL Draft. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And now joining us, he played his college football at Stanford. And I don't know where the heck he's going to play in the NFL, because each and every time I read a scouting report, it puts him at a different position. But that, of course, is Elijah Higgins, who joins us right now. Elijah, I'm going to introduce you as a wide receiver, I think, but a lot of people say maybe you could play tight end in the NFL as well. So how you been?
I've been well, man. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So clearly versatile. That's what you are. You're big, 6'3", 235. Some people say wide receiver. They could put you in the backfield, maybe also use you as a pass-catching tight end. How do you kind of define your role and how you envision playing in the NFL?
Yeah, I feel like I have a wide range of a skill set. Like you said, I think I can fulfill that role as a natural tight end pass catcher or a pass-catching tight end. Also think I can come out the backfield. Also think I can play receiver. So just based on the team, what they see me as, and how I fit in that system.
When you've been talking through these teams throughout the process, has everyone kind of given you a different answer? Is it a lot of the same that you're just going to be a versatile weapon for them?
It's generally been the same thing from a lot of the teams. kind of trending towards that pass catching tight end, move tight end. So that's been the common denominator with all the teams I've talked to so far.
How do you kind of look back at this process? Once you understood, okay, you're getting ready for the NFL, you go through the entire process, the combine and all that. Now with this draft being a week away when it gets kicked off in Kansas City next Thursday, how do you look back at the last few months?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it, to be honest. I feel like I did everything in my power to do what I needed to do to put myself in the position that I feel like I needed to be in. Obviously, nothing was perfect throughout the entirety of the process, but definitely try to put my best foot forward the entire time.
What do you think you learned from this process?
That's a good question. I never really thought about that. I would say more than anything so far, I've learned that you never know, to be honest. Like, for instance, like, you know, a lot of mock drafts and people kind of saying where you're going to go and whatnot. But at the end of the day, you kind of just have to hang your hat on the work that you did and trust the things that you've done so far up to this point and trust that a team is going to see that in you. So I guess we'll wait and see in a week.
Elijah Higgins here with us. So growing up, who were some football players that you idolized?
To be honest, I didn't watch a lot of ball growing up. Barely any, to be honest. I don't really idolize any players or anything like that. A lot of respect for a lot of guys that played in the league and whatnot. But now just getting my feet wet with watching ball and whatnot, especially film study at the next level, things like that. But never really watched like NFL games growing up.
How did you fall in love with the sport then?
I was always like a natural athlete. I played baseball and basketball, track, football, that sort of stuff. It's kind of one of those things where I got good at it. I realized in high school that I was pretty good at football. Kind of had realized I had a future at the next level being in college. And then I would say like my sophomore year in college, I kind of understood football a little bit better, understood what it meant to work hard and kind of put yourself in a position for that work to show up. So I would say around my sophomore years when I really fell in love with not only football as a game, but also like as a process, especially in the offseason and things like that.
It's kind of crazy. And I love these types of stories when you kind of realize you love football later on in life. It means you're not even close to being fully developed. How far away do you think we are from seeing the entire version of Elijah Higgins?
Yeah, hopefully not far, to be honest. I mean, I want to be able to reach that pinnacle, obviously, as soon as possible. But at the end of the day, I don't think I have a ceiling. And also think I'm very far from my ceiling as of right now. So hopefully this next year, my rookie year and so on, I just continue to improve on the field and obviously off the field as well.
You don't know where you're going, but that adjustment going from college to the NFL, how smooth of a transition do you think that's going to be for you?
Yeah, I think I'm prepared for the transition. I don't think it's going to be easy in any way, but I definitely am prepared to ask the questions, to follow suit behind, you know, the vets and whatnot, the captains on the team, the leaders, and I'm willing to play that role as a rookie, obviously, and learn as much as I can.
I know David Shaw is no longer the coach of Stanford, but for all these years, people have been saying, oh, he could be a coach in the NFL, a head coach, and that wouldn't have surprised anyone if it ended up happening. How did coach kind of get you ready for this next level and this journey that you're about to embark on next week?
Yeah, I think it started off with just like the organization itself, how they operate, very professional-like, especially, you know, the pro style offense, West Coast offense, that sort of thing. So definitely prepared me for the next level in that sense and regard, but also just carrying yourself as a professional, doing things you need to do off the field, down in the training room, making sure you're getting the right things. Just operating as a professional was a thing that was always, you know, harped on and instilled in us early when I got to Stanford.
You mentioned the mock drafts earlier and how the projections are all over the place. If I'm a GM, and I ask you, all right, I have a pick, third round, fourth round, fifth round, whatever it may be, why should I use one of those picks on Elijah Higgins? What's your answer?
Yeah, I feel like I'm different than a lot of players in the draft right now, very different. Like I said before, and kind of what you touched on a little bit, I don't necessarily fit in with all the receivers in the class. I don't necessarily fit in with all the tight ends in the class. So I feel like I'm kind of in my own position. And I feel like in this draft class, there's really not many guys, if any, outside of myself that are in that position. So just a team that's willing to see that in me and then obviously have the scheme and the right fit for me in their system.
Some guys like comparison, some guys don't. I'm just wondering, who do you get compared to the most often just because it's such a unique situation like you were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few guys in the league right now. Evan Ingram is one of them. He had a great season at the Jags this past year. Kittle's another, you know, pass catching tight end sort of guy. Who's not necessarily, you know, the ideal tight end as far as like height and weight, and sort of things like that. Pass players, Jordan Reed, Delanie Walker, guys that are around that same physical mold as me, but also, you know, caught balls down the middle and on the outside and things like that. So those types of guys in the league right now and in previous years as well.
Before we let you run, wrap it up with Elijah Higgins, who joins us, NFL draft prospect out of Stanford. What's been some of the best advice? I'm sure everyone's in your ear during this process and you got to figure out who you're going to trust, but what's been some of the best advice you've received as you get ready for the NFL draft?
That's a good question. I think the best advice I've gotten throughout this entirety of the process has been just enjoy it for what it is. As cliche as it sounds, like obviously you only get this opportunity once, and you want to look back and know in your heart that you try to enjoy it as much as you could. You try to be as present as you could in it, and didn't overstress yourself or fall into the trap of being fearful of what was ahead. So just being present in this process and enjoying it for what it is. But obviously being ready for that next level and that jump, because you start rookie minicamp like the next week. So just getting prepared, but also being present in the moment. So
what do you think you'll miss the most, by the way, about Stanford?
Yeah, there's a lot of things, to be honest. I'll say in the football world for sure, like definitely the guys in the locker room. That's probably the thing that I miss the most outside of the locker room. Outside of football, I would say just the atmosphere of Stanford, the type of people you're surrounded by, the environment, how everything operates, that sort of thing. So definitely a lot to miss from Stanford. But I think I'll be back there when I'm able to go back to school. So I'm excited for the future for sure, but also definitely going to miss some things from college at Stanford.
What made you pick Stanford, by the way?
Obviously, just how profound the academics are and how well-respected they are across the country, outside of the country as well. At the time, they had a great football program going in the right direction, competing for Rose Bowls, trying to make playoff spots, that sort of thing. But also just like being able to operate as a regular human being and not necessarily being viewed as solely a football player, being able to have those, you know, genuine interactions, genuine relationships with people outside the locker room and even inside the locker room. So I think that was really special about the place that I was at these past 4 years.
Tell me about your quarterback at Stanford, Tanner McKee, because there's a lot of projections all over the board on where he's going to land coming up in this NFL draft next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a stud. I mean, he's a great player. I feel like he's honestly one of the best quarterbacks in this class right now. He can make the throws all over the field. And I think there's a lot to like about his game. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily recognize or respect it yet, but once he gets into that locker room and on that field at the next level, he'll earn his respect right away.
What is he like as a leader?
He's a great leader, man. He's a great person. Leads by example for sure. He's a great guy to be around, great guy to have as a quarterback, great guy, you know, throwing you the ball, that sort of thing, and a great guy that can lead the offense in the right direction.
Last thing I'll ask you, like we said, we don't know when you're going to get drafted, but how do you think you'll spend Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, not doing anything outside the ordinary, nothing too big, just kind of be with immediate family, just hanging out, chilling, and waiting on the call.
Most important question, what's the food spread looking like at the draft party inside the Higgins household?
That's a great question. I don't know. There might not be anything crazy for the party, though. I'm going to have my dad barbecue, so we might throw a party a few days after the draft if I have time to do it. But on the draft days, just hanging out, just chilling, nothing outside the ordinary.
So dad could cook. What is he cooking up on the barbecue? You invite me over for dinner. What's dad cooking for us? Just wondering. Yeah.
He'll grill up some chicken wings, mac and cheese, baked beans, that sort of stuff. So I'm excited. That's what I'm excited most about, to be honest.
Well, that's the awesome part, the family part of it. It's pretty cool that you'll be able to embrace all as one. And I also like that you said chicken wings, because my producer, Hot Take Hickey, he likes boneless wings, and I just tell him those are chicken nuggets. You got to go with the real chicken wings.
That's the truth. Are you flats or drum?
I'm a drumstick guy. Like drumstick guy, dip them in the blue cheese. If I could go all drumsticks, that would be A-OK with me.
I have to disagree, but that's all right. As long
so you
as
go all flats. You would go all flats.
As long as it's bone in, we're good.
Yeah, okay. You know what? That just saved the answer. Second round, here he comes. Elijah Higgins, thanks so much for doing this. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
We'll take a timeout. Hickey, how about that? Elijah Higgins, not happy with your wing selection. That's a guy that's going to be the NFL. That's a tough guy over there.
I would agree, although I disagree with his, you know, boneless wing and just thrown off to the side. Flats over drums. I'm with him there. Flats are way better.
Horrendous. You don't ever eat. It doesn't matter for you, though. You
I
eat chicken
wings.
Nuggets.
I
no,
don't
you
prefer
don't.
Bone in. I prefer boneless. Anytime it's available, I go for the boneless.
Just call them wings because that's what they are. You eat chicken nuggets.
As you are well aware, there's not many times you could find boneless wings, whether it's on the menu or, for example, a party. Not many people are going out of their way to say, oh, let's get boneless wings here.
Yeah, because you're a bunch of losers.
So if I have to eat wings, definitely flats.
Ugh. Come on. You're a disgrace.
So more, I don't know why you don't like me
you're
here.
You're a disgrace.
I give you more wings, and also now I'm giving you more drums. It's that you are, me and
no.
you should, like, when it goes
no.
out to eating, you should love me.
I am afraid to go out to eat with you.
I am doing you
next
a
week
massive
in Kansas
favor.
City. I'm afraid. And this could be Hickey. I don't want to eat that, I don't want to eat that, I don't want to eat that.
Give me any boneless ribs. I'm kidding. I will eat ribs. I love ribs. I'm excited.
I'm telling you this. We're going to be out in Kansas City. Hickey's going to be like, hey, is there McDonald's around here?
Please, I am cultured.
Is there
I was
Subway?
Cultured in Vegas as much as you could be food wise. I'll be as cultured, if not more, in Kansas City.
I don't know. You had a Sbarro's. You had Sbarro's.
And what did you have? I can't even remember the chain you got. We all had chain
nope.
lunches that one
nope,
day
nope,
because
nope,
there was
nope,
no
nope.
other option with where we were located for the draft. I didn't go out of my way to get Sbarro pizza in Las Vegas.
And
I can promise you
that.
You
got a very pedestrian hamburger too at night, too. We got to widen your horizons a little bit. And Sampter's not even there to make fun
Wait,
of you.
Wait, pedestrian
time.
Hamburger? It's about the last place you went to? That place was delicious. That was high class.
Yeah, but you barely got anything on your burger.
That was, you know, a great burger. You don't need anything on it.
Hickey got a cheeseburger with no bun, no cheese, no lettuce,
no
or tomato.
I got the bun. I got the bun.
No, you didn't.
I got the bun.
He asked for a fork and a knife to cut up his burger. And then the waitress said, do you want a toy with your kitty menu selection?
She offered me a high chair. So, no, I'm okay.
All right, we'll come on back when we do return. The Texans potentially passing on CJ Stroud. Is that the right move?
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It's dream come true time as Gervonta Tank Davis and King Ryan Garcia go toe-to-toe in a battle for undefeated supremacy this Saturday, April 22nd on Showtime Pay-Per-View. Go to sho.com/PPV and snag a front row seat. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So we were talking about this a little bit the other day, and I guess it's gaining more and more momentum on the Houston Texans with the second overall pick passing on CJ Stroud, with Bryce Young probably being the number one overall pick to the Carolina Panthers. And Hickey, what's being brought up here is that Stroud's agent is the same agent as Deshaun Watson. Now, I don't think that's actually the reason why you pass on CJ Stroud. If you don't like the player, if you don't believe in the player, that's one thing. But if Caleb Williams was in this draft, or Trevor Lawrence was in this draft, and Trevor Lawrence is viewed as a generational player, and Caleb Williams is already being talked about, without a doubt, the number one overall pick next year. If, let's just say, Williams or Lawrence were represented by the same agent that represented Deshaun Watson, there's no way the Houston Texans would pass up on either Trevor Lawrence or Caleb Williams if that situation presented itself. So I just wonder, is this decision being made because they don't like the player and they're just using the agent as an excuse? That's what I'm trying to figure out here. Or maybe is it a mixture of both? But if Deshaun Watson's agent, being the same agent that CJ Stroud is the reason why you're not picking this player, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand that, because if you think this player should be great, then you should go out there and draft him.
I don't think it helps. Like, I think it's both. I think it's they're not in love with C.J. Stroud. Their board was Bryce Young or bust. Why they didn't trade up to number one, I have no idea. But I think it's partly not being in love with the player of C.J. Stroud's caliber. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's associated with the same, you know, group of people that last time we were dealing with them was with Deshaun Watson, and everything went to hell. So whether it's his agent, whether it's his quarterback coach, you know, you had C.J. Stroud in Indy at the Combine, specifically mentioned by name Deshaun Watson as a guy who he idolized and likes watching. I think it just does not help and just drives the point home further of we're pass on this guy.
Once again, I don't think any of that should have to do with it. You may be right that it does play a factor, but I think the story more so should be that they just don't believe in C.J. Stroud as a quarterback. I don't think that evaluation should be based off who represents C.J. Stroud. And I just think it's very simple. The Texans don't view C.J. Stroud as a great player if this report and if this speculation is true, that that's part of the reason why they're not going to take C.J. Stroud in this draft. I just don't know how sold I am on that yet, that they're still not going to take C.J. Stroud, even though everyone is basically saying it. But here's the other thing that I'll throw out there. And I'll ask this question to Chris Trapasso when he joins us coming up at the top of the hour. We'll do our Mock 10 top draft because I have the first pick, and I can guarantee you C.J. Stroud is going to be available at 2. If you go through this process and we get there on Monday, Tuesday, or even now, and you continue to get this sense that Bryce Young is going to be the number one overall pick, do you place a phone call to the Panthers and say, hey, it's Houston here. When you guys made this trade, it was out there through Joe Person of The Athletic that they made this move with the intention to go get C.J. Stroud. So if that's the case, shouldn't you maybe make that phone call if you love Bryce Young that much and see if in the 11th hour, maybe the Texans can get a deal done with the Panthers and the Panthers would do a 180 and say, yeah, we'll get more draft capital. And we'll get a player that we really do love still in C.J. Stroud.
Two questions on that. Number one, how much you paying? Like, if you are the Panthers, if you're Scott Fitterer, and I'm calling you as Nick Caserio, we want to come to number one and get Bryce Young. What are you asking for to go down one spot? If you gave up 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and DJ Moore to go from 9 to 1, what are you thinking, like, is fair that you would take?
Well, 9 to 1 is a much greater jump, clearly, than 2 to 1. I would need, just for starters, your first-round pick next year. I need a first-round pick next year. Carolina—they don't even have one. Oh no, it would be the Texans' pick. That's what I would need. I would need the Texans' first-round pick next year.
Carolina does not have one, and that would replace theirs.
Yeah, I think that's fair, right?
I think I'd ask for more. I'd ask for Laramie Tunsil. I'd go player. Give me Tunsil. Give me my left tackle that I know he's already paid, so it's gonna be a good amount of money. Give me someone who can anchor the line. This is bare minimum.
Okay, if that's what you're gonna say, fine. I think just to move up one spot, and this would obviously mean that the Panthers still really, 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 really like C.J. Stroud, then I think a first-round pick is just for starters, and then you could work around the parameters on that. But you brought up a good point. Why did the Texans not be more active here? If this was really Bryce Young or bust, this is why it's tricky. When you go get your quarterback, you go get your quarterback. Because you look at this, it's not been a secret. It's the worst kept secret. The Texans wanted Bryce Young. The Texans thought, and they miscalculated here. The Texans thought they were getting Bryce Young and that whoever was moving in the number one spot was going to go take C.J. Stroud. And at first, they looked like they were going to be right. But as we are now a week away from the draft, with the draft first round, we'd already know the first round pick, the second overall pick by this time next week. It looks like Bryce Young's going to be the first overall pick. Now, I don't think the Panthers are going to make a trade because whatever the reasons are, everyone has now moved to who we both thought should be the original number one overall pick, but now everyone is saying the number one overall pick is going to be Bryce Young. I think even though they said they have not made their decision yet, I don't buy that. And Scott Fitterer the other day did also say that it's unlikely that they're going to trade out of that one spot. So it does appear from the reports and what we believe that Bryce Young's going to be the number one overall pick. So I don't know if you get them to move off of that, but I wonder by how much is it Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud? Because that was the decision. It was Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud and really nobody else. Is it 51-49? And if it's 51-49, like, yeah, could a first-round pick and maybe Laramie Tunsil sway you in a different direction? Maybe it can if you're the Carolina Panthers.
But if you're the Panthers, now, again, you should trust your own evaluations. But I think it does raise an eyebrow if the Texans are that desperate to get to number one and they're not, they hate every quarterback outside of Bryce Young. Do we really want to drop down and give up the only quarterback that seemingly any team is right now going after?
Now, let's also be real, too. The Texans, or the Panthers, at the time when they made that move, don't you feel like it was the owner, David Tepper, who wanted Bryce Young, and it was Frank Reich who wanted C.J. Stroud? We don't know who Scott Fitterer wanted. Maybe he was the tiebreaker here. Was this the owner winning out? Or was this the organization coming to an agreement together? Like, that's what I just wonder, because maybe you could persuade David Tepper to change his mind here if you come back and say, oh, we really love Stroud, we believe Stroud should be the guy, and we're going to get a pick, a first-round pick back for him, you know, in order to move down to the two spots, still get Stroud, and then Bryce Young will be the number one overall pick, and he goes to the Texans? That's something I wonder if it's a conversation there. But it did feel like, Hickey, at the time, that this was David Tepper, who was really pushing for Bryce Young, and it was Frank Reich, who everyone thought, if it's true, was the guy that wanted C.J. Stroud initially.
I think initially when the trade went down, absolutely. I think by this point, all the homework done, I think it's consensus. Bryce Young.
You would think so. Who knows, though, because you saw what happened with the 49ers. There was clearly a lot of disagreement in that room, and Kyle Shanahan was talked into Trey Lance, and look where we are a few years from now. Anyway, it's a conversation to be had. I do ultimately think the Panthers are going to keep the pick. They're going to take Bryce Young. And then the real intrigue starts at number two. Because even though a lot of people believe that C.J. Stroud won't be the pick at two, until it happens, there's always a reason to remain skeptical.